శ్రీవత్సాంగం ఘనశ్యామం పురుషం వనమాలినం శంఖచక్ర గదా పద్మే అవివ్యక్త చతుర్భుజం
The Lord is a person who wears a garland of flowers and is eternally manifest with four hands, which hold conch shell, wheel, club, and lotus flower. Therefore, here in this verse, the word Purusha is very significant. The Lord is never female, he is always male. Therefore, the impersonalist who imagines the Lord's form as that of a woman is mistaken. The Lord appears in female form if necessary, but his perpetual form is Purusha because he is originally male. A female feature of the Lord is displayed by goddesses of fortune, Lakshmi, Radharani, Sita, etc. All these goddesses of fortune are servitors of the Lord. They are not the supreme, as falsely imagined by the impersonalist. Lord Krishna and his Narayana features always four-handed. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna wanted to see his universal form, he showed this feature of four-handed Narayana. Some devotees are of the opinion that Krishna is an incarnation of Narayana, but Bhava supposes that Narayana is a manifestation of Krishna. Text 48, the entire body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, is decorated. He wears a valuable jeweled helmet, necklaces, and bracelets. His neck is adorned with a kasuba jewel. He's dressed in yellow silk garments. The Lord is decorated with small golden bells around his waist, and his lotus feet are decorated with golden ankle bells. All his bodily features are very attractive and pleasing to the eye. He is always peaceful, calm, and quiet, and very pleasing to the eyes and mind. Real yogis meditate upon the transcendental form of the Lord as it stands in the world of the lotus of their hearts. The jewel-like nails of his lotus feet glittering. The Lord is always smiling, and the devotee should constantly see the Lord in this form as he looks very mercifully towards the devotee. In this way, the meditator should look towards the Supreme Personality of God, the bestower of all benedictions. Therefore, the word Niyatena is very significant in this connection, for it indicates that one should execute the meditation practice as stated above. One should not manufacture a way of meditation on the Supreme Personality of God, but should follow the authorized shastras and personalities. By this prescribed method, one can practice concentration upon the Lord until one is so fixed that he remains in trance, thinking always of the form of the Lord. The word used here is eka bhutena, which means with great attention and concentration. If one concentrates on the descriptions of the body features of the Lord, one will never fall down. One who meditates in this way, concentrating his mind upon the always auspicious form of the Lord, is very soon free from all material contaminations, not come down from meditation upon the Lord. Therefore, this fixed meditation is called samadhi or trance. A person constantly engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord cannot be deviated from meditating in the form of the Lord as described herein. The Archana Marga, or devotional path, described in the Pancharatra system of devotional service of worship of the deity in the temple, makes the devotee think constantly of the Lord. That is, samadhi or trance, one who practices in this way cannot deviate from the service of the Lord. That makes him perfect in addition to human life. The Lord is further described as having a mark. Shivaps, or the sitting place in the goddess of fortune, and the body of you is the bluish. The Lord is a person, he wears a garden of flowers, and he is eternally manifest with four hands, which hold conch shell, whale, cloth, and lotus flower. So this is a description of the Supreme Lord as told by Narada Muni to Dhruva. And as we see, this is a Vishnu form with four arms, holding the conch shell, chakra, etc. And it's described as being decorated with various jewels, these dark bluish in color, and very pleasing to the eye, and smiling, and giving benedictions to the devotees. So this is a standard description of the Lord, and we'll see many such descriptions in the Bhagavatam, starting with the description in the second canto in relation to the yogis who meditate on Paramatma in the heart. So here we find a similar description. And of course in the third canto also descriptions, and later on we'll find similar descriptions of the Lord. So the idea here is that the Lord is the object of meditation or jnana. And that Lord has a particular form. We cannot concoct the form of the Lord. There is a specific form of the Lord upon which one meditates. And that becomes the object of realization. So what we meditate upon becomes our realization. So these forms are specific. And therefore the description is repeated many times to show that we cannot concoct a different description of the Lord. However, we will see that the Lord does have many forms. So one could meditate on other forms of the Lord. One could meditate on Ramchandra or Krishna or any of the avatar forms. And that is equally good because they're all the Supreme Lord. But they are also authorized forms for meditation. On the other hand, we cannot make up our own form of the Lord with the color that we make up and with a different number of hands or heads or whatever. We cannot do that. We have to follow the descriptions given in the scriptures. So this is the form of the Supreme Lord. This is also the object of meditation of some of the yogis. They meditate on a form like this, Paramatma. Some yogis meditate upon the Vishwarupa. Some yogis may meditate simply upon sound or impersonal aspect of the Lord. Just as the Jnanis think of Brahman or Atma, so some yogis will also think in this way. That also we cannot say is separate from the Lord, because we know that the Lord is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He's all of those. At the same time, we have to see there is a distinction. So it is made clear in the Bhagavatam and in the Nectar Devotion that the impersonal Brahman aspect is rejected by the devotees. It is the object or the goal of the Jnanis and many yogis, but it is completely rejected as unfavorable by the devotees of the Lord. Why is it rejected? Because it is inferior. So that is one of the qualities mentioned in relation to bhakti. On the stage of bhava, one quality is moksha lubhukriti, or to take liberation as insignificant. So in bhava, one realizes the form of the Lord, and therefore impersonal liberation becomes insignificant in comparison to the beauty of the Lord and the bliss of the Lord. So it gets rejected. And of course it is unfavorable because there is no form, qualities, or activities in the Brahman. So the devotee never favors thinking of the Lord impersonal. So the idea of Brahman is rejected by the devotees, even though it is part of the Lord. And instead, they meditate upon these forms of the Lord. And not only do they meditate on the forms, because the yogis also meditate on the forms, as described here, the yogi also sees the Lord in his heart. But there is a difference with the devotees, because the goal is different. The goal of most yogis is simply the liberation. And, of course, the Lord can also do that. As is explained here, he can very quickly free one from material contamination, and therefore one is liberated. But that is not the goal of the devotee, and is a secondary result. So the main goal of the devotee is simply to serve the Supreme Lord in that beautiful form. And secondarily, of course, all of the material contamination, etc., all that is destroyed in the process. Liberation becomes secondary for the devotee, but he automatically achieves whatever the yogi or the jnani achieves. He achieves that, but he achieves much more, because his goal is different. So the devotee is interested in serving the Lord, whereas the yogi and the jnani are not. Narada Muni has directed Dhruva here to worship the Lord in this particular form. And we will see that as a result of this, the Lord actually appeared before him. He was so determined in his worship and meditation that finally the Lord appeared directly before him. He opened his eyes and then he saw the Lord, even though he was only a small boy. And so that this is the nature of bhakti, that it brings about the appearance of the Supreme Lord. So the jnani or the yogi, on the other hand, though they may worship the Lord, they do not have the same goal in mind. They want liberation. So therefore, the Lord does not appear in that way to them. Dhruva got the very special mercy of Narada Muni to worship in this particular way, so that he could see the Lord face to face, in spite of the fact that his intention was originally to get the kingdom. And so he had mixed devotion, karma, nisra, bhakti. But by the mercy of Narada Muni, he was able to perform bhakti in such a way that it became very attractive to the Supreme Lord. So this is the effect of a devotee. And of course, Narada Muni is a great devotee, Shankaracharya avatar. So by his mercy, Dhruva became transformed by this process of bhakti, which was instructed to him. Fortunately, Dhruva followed exactly the instructions given by Narada Muni, who was very obedient, and therefore he followed the instructions very nicely, and therefore he got this wonderful result. So the purport here is that, of course, it is more fortunate to perform pure bhakti rather than mixed bhakti, desire either liberation or material benefits. But even if one does perform mixed bhakti, that is superior to not performing bhakti, not to performing jnana or yoga or anything else or karma. Even if it is mixed, it is better. And if one performs mixed bhakti and one gets the mercy of pure devotees, then one can go beyond the mixed bhakti and achieve much higher results also. So it is always preferable to perform bhakti in whatever form. But of course, pure bhakti is better than the mixed bhakti. So if one has the mercy of a great devotee like Narada Muni, then one can advance very, very nicely. We see that in the case of others also. So Narada Muni gave mercy to Prahlada. and he achieved very good results from Smarana. He gave mercy to Murgar the hunter. And Murgar the hunter, by chanting the name of the Lord, achieved Bhava in a few months. So anything is possible by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So in the case of Prahlad, he came from the womb of a demon. And in the case of Murgar the hunter, he was also very fallen. He was a hunter, and he liked to kill animals. But nevertheless, the mercy of the devotee was there, so he could advance very nicely and achieve a very high status in pure bhakti. So that is the influence of the devotees of the Lord.
Your dreams are gone in material size.
Yeah.
Yet Vishnu gave you the kingdom.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, he didn't want the kingdom, but then the Lord said, since you are my devotee and you asked for it, I should give what you asked for. Now, of course, usually the Lord will not give things which are unfavorable for the service of the devotee, but he understood that Dhruva would not be in any way affected by it. That, so therefore he gave it to him. So he is simply responding to the request of his devotee. That's all.
Krishna says, even the ideas in which devotion is better to worship him than worshiping the other gods.
Yeah, whether it's mixed or pure devotion, that's better than not worshiping the Lord and doing some other process, definitely. So all those types of devotees appear to the Lord. So this is an example, Dhruva is an example. He got very good results, even though he started out with mixed devotional service. If one does not worship the Lord, even worshipping devatas is also useless. One also has to worship the Lord. One cannot disrespect the Supreme Lord. One also has to give respect to the Lord along with that. If one completely rejects the Lord and worships devatas, then that is also useless and will give no results. And of course in Kali Yuga all of this is not recommended because it's not actually spiritual. There's only material. So it's not recommended at all.
Rabbi Goswami.
Ramsi Das Goswami.